ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदायो नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामैहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। नमो महाबदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्री राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण। सो आई सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल असेंबल वैष्णवज हियर। दिस इज माय फर्स्ट संडे फेस्ट क्लास, सो नेचुरली आई एम क्वाइट नर्वस टुडे, बट नेवरदलेस आई वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू दिस प्रोग्राम। And today I have decided to speak something on Prahlad Maharaj because Narasimha Chaturthi is coming in a few days. So I'll try to speak something on Prahlad Maharaj. Sometime back, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, he was speaking here and he said that when sometimes a father throws his son, small baby son, into the air, the son, for the first time, may get very scared and may cry. But as this child goes up in the air and gradually comes down, he knows that the father is going to catch me. So once he knows it, every time the father throws him, there may be little fear, but then again he is very happy because he is having a free fall, you know, going up and down. And the father catches. Similarly, the miseries that is sent to a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj is like someone throwing him up in the air. And because he knows Lord Vishnu, Krishna is always going to catch him anyway after the, you know, thrill. So instead of getting unhappy, he is actually happy all the time. So this is Prahlad Maharaj. Whatever miseries like Hiranyakashipu arranged that he should be thrown into the from the top of a mountain into the deep valleys. But as he was falling, it's like a child falling into the arms of his father. So he was never scared. He was always calm, peaceful and absorbed in Krishna. So this is how His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj gave a definition. So I'll try to speak a little bit from different chapters about Prahlad Maharaj. It comes in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Narad Muni, while speaking about Prahlad Maharaj to Yudhishthira Maharaj, narrating, he said, Prahlad Maharaj are such exalted devotees, wherever and any time there is an assembly of devotees discussing about a saintly person, whenever and wherever there is a discussion about saintly person, Prahlad Maharaj will be cited without mistake. He's saying, Yam Sadhu Gatha Sadasi. That means, anytime people gather to discuss about Sadhu Gatha and about glories of saintly people, Ripavo Pi Suran Rupa. It is said, even demigods were enemies of demons. When the demigods also gather to discuss about saintly person, although they are enemy of demons, still Prahlad Maharaj, who was born in a demonic family, they would cite Prahlad Maharaj as a great example. Even demigods would do that. Pratimanam prakurvanti kim utyane bhavadrusha. What to speak of people like you, Yudhishthira Maharaj? Whoever discusses about saintly person, Prahlad Maharaj comes without a fail. So then he describes how Prahlad Maharaj has many saintly qualities. This Nadvigna Chito Vashanesu Nispruha. His chitta, Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness, was always calm. Nadvigna means without any anxiety. He was without total anxiety. Vashanesu means any kind of danger. Nispruha means he was detached from what? Srutesu drushtesu gunesu avastudruk. A very nice line. Sruta basically refers to Shrutis, sometimes it refers to Vedas. So Vedas basically, like Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraiguna Bhava Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. So Vedas in the beginning basically speaks about karma kanda, about fruitive activities. You do work in a certain pious way and enjoy the fruits, and when you die you go to heavenly planets and continue to enjoy like that. So this kind of Shrutis, Prahlad Maharaj was not attracted to at all. Nispruha means he was not attached to these things. Sutesu, drushtesu, or any beautiful sight would not distract him. Guneshu means all these three modes of material nature, they create so many wonderful things in this world. Combination of three modes creates so many different nice things. But that doesn't also distract Prahlad Maharaj at all. Avastu Drik means he would consider these things as if invalid matter. Vastu means matter. Avastu means like even matter has without any value. So Avastu Drik means he would look upon all these things, Vedas or beautiful sights or different modes of nature coming in different ways, as if it has no value. Dantendriya prana sarira dhi sada. Dante means control. So Dantendriya means he has controlled his indriya, prana means his life fire, and sarira, his body, dhi, his intelligence. All these things he controlled completely. Normally our control is like very limited. Sometimes we fast. On Ekadashi or Janmashtami we fast. In our mind and intelligence we think about so many items. How to break, how to plan, we do all these things. But not only his indriya senses are controlled, but along with his senses also, his mind, his intelligence, his life fire, everything is controlled completely. Prashanta kama rahita surasura. So, and his all kind of lusty desires are all calm. Subdued calm, lusty desires. This is Prahlad Maharaj. So Prabhupada says, all this was possible for this particular personality, Mahabhagavat Prahlad Maharaj, because he followed his guru's directions very rigidly. Whatever he learnt from Narada Muni, this will be described later in the chapters. So Prabhupada says, anyone can become fully qualified Brahmana under the direction of a spiritual master. So Prahlad Maharaj, although was born in a demoniac family, provides a vivid example of how to think of spiritual master and accept his direction calmly. Then he goes on, this is from the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. He was not attracted to play games. That is very, very unusual. Indeed, he gave them up to altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in activities of sense gratification. It is said, Krishna griha grahitatma naveda jagat idrisham. So people are affected by different planets in this world and they behave in different ways. You know, somebody is affected by Rahu, his life is dull. Somebody is affected by maybe Jupiter or some other planet, moon. They are hyper. So it is said in astrology, some science is like that. But Prahlad Maharaj was affected by Krishna Graha. He was like completely afflicted. Krishna Graha Grahita Atma. Therefore, what was the symptom of this person? He does not know how this world is going on. Why people are so much interested and inclined for sense gratification, that didn't make any sense to him. This is Prahlad Maharaj. So Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Bhakti Parishano Bhava Viraktiranyatra Cha. Bhakti Parishano Bhava. So when I heard this line for the first time in my life, I thought Bhakti means Parishan. Bhakti Parishano Bhava. But actually it is, Bhakti is Para Isha. Isha means the Supreme Lord. So when the Bhakti is performed for the Supreme Lord, Para Isha Bhava means realizing the Supreme Lord. So when one performs Bhakti, the realization of Supreme Lord and Biraktri Anyatracha, that is Vairagya, that happens simultaneously. Then it goes on, that verse goes on to say, just like a hungry man, when he starts eating, he gets three things, tushti, pushti, kshudapaya. What does that mean? He gets satisfaction, tushti. Pushti means he gets nourishment, as well as his hunger goes away gradually. So three things happen simultaneously. Similarly, when bhakti is performed, that devotional act, realization of God, and detachment to this world simultaneously occurs. So that is the power of bhakti. One doesn't have to endeavor separately to cultivate detachment. Whereas in all other process, this is very much stressed, to cultivate vairagya in itself. But whereas this thing, It happens automatically. So, while Prahlad Maharaj was sitting, walking, eating or lying down, drinking and talking, all these things were automatically performed. It's not that he was consciously drinking something or eating something. Like when we are eating, we are absorbed, you know, salt hai ki nahi hai. Turun, immediately we can make out, salt is there or not. But while Prahlad Maharaj was eating, it never made any sense to him. And some of our devotees also, you know, they're little advanced devotees are sometimes they don't make any sense. Like I remember Gaurangpa was telling us, when he was in Pune working, he used to cook for three devotees were staying together, Gaurang Prabhu, Radhesham Prabhu and Sudham Prabhu. So one day he cooked something and Radhesham Prabhu had to go very quickly. So he had served him first, Prasad. So he ate Prasad and Gaurang Prabhu asked him, how was it? He said, oh, very sattvic, very nice, very sattvic, he said, and he left. Then Gaurang Prabhu waited, there was no salt in it. So he was telling how Radhesham Prabhu is not, you know, attracted by this kind of things, he just... at and left. Prahlad Maharaj, he was sitting or walking or eating or lying down, all things are happening very automatically. He's not at all noticing it. Now his sleeping is also automatic. Not that he has to take, you know, so much of effort to take rest. And nowadays sleeping is such a big problem all over the world, you know. People take so much of sleeping pills. It is said in America, if all the people don't take sleeping pills for one day, one night I mean, daytime nobody sleeps, then it will form a big mountain actually, like a hillock. That is the quantity of sleeping pills they eat every day because of anxiety. But Prahlad Maharaj is without anxiety, and although at the same time all his activities are performed very, very in a quiet manner. So not only this, because of his thick love for Krishna, he was always absorbed in Krishna's pastime. Therefore, he exhibited the symptoms of bhava. What are they? Narada Muni explains that sometimes he would cry and sometimes he laughed. So Prabhupada would say, just like when a child sees the mother is going away, leaving the child for some household duty, the child may cry very loudly. And when the child sees mother is coming, the child starts smiling. There is a smile on the face of child. You know, you have seen babies. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, when he feels that Krishna is not there, that absence would made him cry very loudly. But when you see Krishna is coming, immediately he would feel very happy and would laugh. So sometimes express jubilation, sometimes sang loudly. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj was exhibiting all the symptoms. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was hearing all these things about Prahlad Maharaj. He said, Prahlad Maharaj is such a nice person, nice boy, such a eligible and persons endowed with so much good qualities. Why did his father try to kill him? Then he was saying, when parents, father, mother, chastise a son to apply a correction on him, basically. And the child, to correct that person, they would chastise. But if somebody is already good, why to chastise him? What to speak of chastisement, attempted to kill him. Why is it like that? Prahlad is such a nice person. Why Hiranyakashipu behaved like that? So when he asked this question, then Narada Muni speaks in detail about this pastime of Prahlad Maharaj. So then Narada Muni explains in a chapter called Prahlad Maharaj, saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. So basically he again glorifies Prahlad Maharaj in various ways. So at the age of 5, it is explained that Prahlad Maharaj starts to going to school. And his teacher's names were Sanda and Amarka. They are the sons of Sukracharya. Many people in India, they know Sukracharya, but they don't know their sons. They also have same kind of training. So when Prahlad Maharaj went to school, they started giving him education. And what is the education? They explained, they taught him economics and politics. Nowadays, it is everywhere, you know. Like Govind Prabhu was telling us once, those who score very nice in their 12th standard, they either become engineers and doctors, right? And those who can't make it to become engineers and doctors, they go for commerce, right? And later they become MBA, and when they become MBA, they control the doctors and engineers, right? Then he was saying, and those who cannot even make to commerce, those who cannot study at all, they become businessmen. And as a businessman, they employ the MBAs under them. And those who can't even become businessmen, they become politicians. And they control all the people. Businessmen. Like that. So this is the whole education affair nowadays. So economics basically deals with money, finance. Whereas politics deals with power, prestige and position. So demoniac lifestyle means these two things. There has to be money and there has to be power, position and control, basically. So therefore, the demoniac kind of education train people in this regard a lot. So therefore, our education system, whatever it is now, is basically based on these principles. Prabhupada always says, like Prabhupada was in MIT, and he was saying, you have so much of educational departments, but what is the department which speaks about spirit soul? So, all this money, power, politics would deal with me, mine, and these are my friends and these are my enemies. That's how the whole thing is. Competitions, there has to be competition. Economic development, there has to be competition. There has to be greed. So, when Prahlad Maharaj heard these lessons, he didn't like it at all. Because he was already in an exalted position. Already described by Narada Muni. So he didn't like these things at all. So he was saying, what is this me and mine business? And Prabhupada very nicely explains in the purport, he quotes a verse from Bhagavad Gita. And the verse is, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Sunichaiva Supakacha Pandita Samadarsina. That instead of thinking my party and their party, enemy, friends, one has to understand that everybody is actually equal. Like the example given in his verse is Vidya Vina Sampanna, one is endowed with true knowledge, true education, Vidya. Then what he says, Brahmane Gavi Hastini Sunichaiva Sopakacha. A Brahmana, an elephant, a cow, a dog and a dog eater. That is Chandala. All these persons look alike. He look in the same platform. Why does he do so? Because he doesn't see the external features. Normally, a foolish person would always judge a person based on external features. You know? That's why there is so much of misunderstanding and so many things. Because we judge on a external feature. But a true learned person, a pandita, he sees in a spiritual platform. He goes deep inside. So what he sees this all are spirit soul, basically. You know, similarly, Prabhupada says, Chaturvarna Maya system, this caste system, people make so much of fuss about it, like we're discussing. And actually, whether one is Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra, all these platforms are based on modes of material nature, basically. One who is in goodness is a Brahminical person. So a spirit soul, when he comes to this material world, he acquires different modes, right? And based on that modes, he is inclined to act in a particular way. So there is nothing to feel proud or sad about it. Actually, should feel sad about it. But basically, these are the modes which keeps a person act in a particular way. But actually, we are all spirit soul. So when we understand we are spirit soul, then it doesn't matter whether we are in a Brahminical qualities or a business quality or Sudra, working class quality. Whatever quality may be, because our real identity is spirit soul, that means we are servant of Krishna. Jiva Swarupa, Krishna Nitya Das. Everybody is servant. Then what the servant's role is basically whatever quality he has, he has to engage it in Krishna service. Then there is no disruption among the classes, because everybody is serving Krishna. So whether one is a Brahmana or a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or in this case, you know, even the animals, everybody can be engaged in Krishna's service. And then there is no clash. Brahmana doesn't feel superior or Shudra doesn't feel inferior. Why? Because both are engaged in Krishna's service. We see even the elephants in South India, they are building these temples, big, big stone temples, structures are there. Many of the elephants are engaged. So different type of people do different service to the Lord. And because everybody is servant eternally, so therefore this temporary designation which we acquire through the modes of material nature should not make a big, big deal, you know. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, who was in a very high Mahabhagavata stage, he never liked it. And it is also explained, one of the pastimes in Ramanacharya's, there was a devotee name called Kanchipurna. Basically, he was a lower caste person, some Shudra family, but he was engaged in service of Bharadaraj. Many of the IOS boys will be visiting Tirupati and Kanchipuram. So this happened in Kanchipuram. So Kanchipurna's seva was basically very simple. He would bring water pots or he would fan the Lord. But service is whatever it may be, but bhakti has to be there. So whatever he was doing, it was so much endued with love and devotion that it is said that Bharadaraj was speaking to him. While he would be fanning, Bharadaraj would speak to him. How are you? How was the day? What's the news? And that many questions would ask, but this Kanchipurna would be answering his questions. Because in the afternoon, in the summertime, it is very hot, and that is a seva. And Ramanacharya knew this exalted position of Kanchipurna. That time he was not Acharya. Ramanacharya was not Acharya at that time. He was still a householder. So he was studying Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes questions would come to his mind, he would go and tell Kanchipurna, you ask Vardaraj, I have this doubt. And Vardaraj would answer those questions. So one day Ramanacharya approaches this Kanchipurna, says, I want to accept you as my spiritual master. So he says, no, you are such an exalted person, I am just a, it is not proper. But he said, no, please instruct me. So His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was speaking this past time. He said, there was no formal ceremony for which this he accepted as a spiritual master. But because he insisted for asking for service. So, now Kanchipurna, he was not a learned scholar or Brahmana, right? But he was a pure devotee. And according to his modes, he was rendering service. So, with whatever strength, whatever qualification and whatever, to the extent he could engage, Ramanacharya he engaged him. So he didn't say, bring Bhagavad Gita and I will tell you everything. Rather he just said, you bring water for Vardaraj every day for his avishek. So according to his capacity, he engaged him. But the whole point is bhakti. So Ramanacharya would bring every day water for Vardaraj. He was doing that service with very diligently. So this is what there is a quarrel over all these issues, but actually, if everybody is engaged in Krishna service, there is no discrimination. It is all the same. So Prahlad Maharaj was staying in that school and hearing his teachers because he was obliged to do that. But in his mind, he never accepted or neither he was interested. He was never interested in all these things, but he was sitting there. So likely, similarly, when devotees work outside with materialistic people, there will be certain problems. You can hear, you can see, or whatever, you know, you have to deal with the situation, but we should not get involved in these situations. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he's showing through his example. And Radha Gopinath Prabhu always tell this story. The story of monkey and the crocodile. You know that story, monkey and crocodile? Because the crocodile once was taking the monkey away for a hefty lunch. But the monkey understood and came back. He said, my heart was in the tree. So you come, I'll give it to me. When you come to the shore, I'll give the heart back to you. Because it is not with me, I left it in the tree. So the monkey brings him, the crocodile brings him back. He jumps to the tree and says, you cannot separate heart from a person. You know. So Gopinath Prabhu was saying, you may associate with people, but don't give your heart. You keep your heart only for Krishna. That was the idea. So in this way, the things were passing by. Nobody could detect Prahlad Maharaj's exalted qualities. And once these teachers brought Prahlad Maharaj to Hiranyakashipu, the father. So they explained, Ekadasura Rat Putram Ankam Arupya Pandava Prapachya Kathayatam Vascha Manyate Sadhu Yad Bhavan. So Ankam Arupya means he took Prahlad Maharaj onto his lap, Hiranyakashipu, because he's a small child, very attractive features. So he took his child and put on his lap. And Prapachya Kathayatam Vatsa. So he's asking his child, O Vatsa, my child, you please tell Manyate Sadhu Yad Bhavan. Whatever you think is best, you tell that. So he was a small child, he was thinking, he's a small child, what he can say? Small child, he will say something. That is, Prabhupada says, he was thinking that he may say something interesting but not practical, something like that. He may say something nice and interesting but not practical. That was his expecting. Hiranyakashipu was expecting like that. So he said, you say anything. So he didn't ask any particular question, fearing that he might fail. So give the child the full scope to speak whatever he likes. So here is a kind of mistake people do. When they ask devotees, you say anything you like. When a devotee is given a chance to speak anything, then he will speak for 1 hour. Entire philosophy will be there. So Hiranyakashipu did this mistake. He forgot that whom is asking. Mahabhagavat. Anything you say. Okay. And once Prabhupada was in Germany, and there was a radio interview for him, supposed to speak on. The devotee said to Prabhupada that you have only 3 minutes to speak on this radio station. Prabhupada said, no problem. In 3 minutes, I can speak the entire philosophy. And he went and he did that. So here, Hiranyakashipu is asking, and Prahlad Maharaj, because he's a pure devotee, it's not that he speaks anything. A devotee, whenever they speak, they depend on Krishna. And Prabhupada explains, there is a verse in Gita which says, Tesam evanu kampartham aham ajnana jamtama nasayami atma bhavastho jnana deepena vasvata. He says that when a devotee depends on God and tries to help somebody, then the Supreme Lord Himself, Krishna says, aham ajnana jamtama, I destroy this illusion, darkness, and with the lamp of knowledge, I inspire the devotee to give or do this seva properly. So depending on Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj speaks. And in this instance, he actually speaks just one verse. Just one verse to Hiranyakashipu, and that was enough. And it is explained, not explained basically, I was thinking like this, that who could preach to Hiranyakashipu? You know? He was the king of all demons. He has already defeated the demigods completely. Full power with him. And propagating materialism like anything. His enemy of Vishnu. Vishnu doesn't have an enemy, but he made Vishnu as his enemy. So such a person, who could dare to approach and speak? It seems even Naradvan never approached him to speak about Krishna consciousness. But Naradvan knew about Prahlad Maharaj. So he trained him properly and sent him. So here, Prahlad Maharaj, son of Hiranyakashipu, I think he was the only person available who could actually speak to him. And that is Krishna's mercy on everyone. Krishna always tries to help all living entity. Every living entity Krishna wants to turn back to him and come back to him. And that is what Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that it is explained that Guru Krishna Pai Bhakti Lata Bijam. In Brahmanda Brahmete Kon Bhagyavan Jim, Guru Krishna Prasadave Bhakti Lata Bijam. So Krishna is always making plans to bring back the living entity back to him. So here is Hiranyakashipu, who is completely envious, envious in the peak, maximum that could be possible. But still, here Krishna is sending a pure devotee to him to tell him to come back to him. And that's what exactly Prahlad Maharaj says. And it's a very famous verse. It's a Sri Prahlad Vacha. Tat sadhu manye suravarya dehinam sada samudvikna dhiyam asad grihat hitvatma patam gruhandhakupam vanam gato yat dharim ashrayat. So it's a very interesting verse. In the four lines he says, manyat sadhu yat bhavan. Whatever you think is good, you tell us. Hiranyakashipu says. So Prahlad Maharaj starts, yat sadhu manye. What is good, I think? This is what? That, he suravarya dehinam. You are suravarya. You are the topmost of all demons. Dehinam, one who is embodied. Anyone. Not just you, but anyone. Who is embodied, who has accepted a body. Sada samudvigna dhyam asad gruvad. Such a person, such an entity, is always afflicted by anxieties. Samudvigna dhyam. His intelligence is afflicted by anxieties, stress basically. Why? Because they have accepted asad gruhat. They have accepted a household life which is not exactly true, which is temporary. Therefore he says, what should one do? Hitvatma patam gruhanda kupam. He says, hitva means you give up. Give up what? Griha andha kupam. That house is compared to a dry, deep, dark well. Then he says, what the solution? If you give it up, why you should give it up? Because atma patam, it destroys all spiritual culture. It kills killer of the soul basically, atma patam. Then what is the solution? He says, banam gato yad dharin ashrayade. You go to forest and take shelter of Hari, full shelter of Hari. So it is explained that how forest is also deep dark place. As the household life is also, it is explained, Gruha Andha Kupam, it's like a dark well. So deep dark well, it's such a deep place that a person search for happiness. Just like a person searching for water in a dark well. So water is never there. So people look or search for happiness in just household life, but it is actually not there. Whereas forest may be a deep place, dark place, but if one goes there, basically one is freed from desire for sense gratification. And in that situation, one can take shelter of Hari completely. And that will give real eternal happiness. In this way, Prahlad Maharaj actually explains that one has to get rid of the attachment to the bodily concept of life. And why it is sense gratification discouraged? Because it takes a person away from the understanding that we are spirit souls. Atmapatam. So one should understand himself to be a part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. This is what Prabhupada says. For guaranteed spiritual success. So Hiranyakashipu was recommended Vanaprastha, for he had already lived his family life. In this way, Prahlad Maharaj spoke this verse, And Hiranyakashipu was completely disgusted by hearing it, because he never expected somebody would dare to speak him like this. But because Prahlad was a very small baby at that time, 5-year-old, very tender, he said, probably somebody has entered our camp in disguise and polluted the mind of Prahlad. That was his conclusion. So he said, you please go out and find out, is there any Vaishnava in our camp in disguise? So he ordered Sandana Amarka like that, the teachers. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that sometimes devotees, when they go in Tilak, Kantimala, all these things, they're ridiculed, they're criticized, and they are sometimes even attacked. So sometimes if it is necessary, one may go to preaching in disguise. Prabhupada says like that. One may chuck out the tilak or take out Kantimala. But more important is preaching. That is more important, because this world, otherwise people never know about Krishna. And these two teachers starts interrogating Prahlad Maharaj. When they come back, they are surprised because they are teaching him economics and politics. Now he comes and tells father about Atmagyan. So they're shocked, and they started speaking harshly to him. How could you learn this thing? From where you learned all these things? All these questions they started asking him. But Prahlad Maharaj again spoke in a very detailed way to them, why you should not think Vishnu as enemy. That should not be, this question of enemy and friend should not exist at all. That is the whole topic he spoke at that point. And he said, you look at me, I am a demon in one sense. I am born in a demonic family. I am Asura basically, in a Asura class of person. So if Vishnu were enemies of Asuras, then why he is favoring me? So I consider Vishnu to be my friend, therefore he can be friend of anybody. In fact, he is friend to anyone. In this way, Prahlad Maharaj is trying to pacify them. So they just gave up, but continued their teachings. So after some time, these teachers, they bring back Prahlad Maharaj to Hiranyakashipu. And this time they took to the mother Kayadu, and she dressed him very nicely, put some ornaments on him, and bring him back to Hiranyakashipu. And now Prahlad Maharaj approached Hiranyakashipu. He was such a gentle person, he first paid his obeisance to Hiranyakashipu, because he was his father. We see Prabhupada, when he was preaching in America, he would always tell tell his disciples, they should always respect father, parents. In fact, you should pay your full dandavat. And these devotees are so dedicated to Prabhupada. What are Prabhupada said, they would obey. Even though they were like young, 20, 25-year-old boys, they would not discriminate. Whenever Prabhupada would say, they would just do it. So once Gargamani went to his house to meet his mother, and they rang the calling bell. So the mother opened the door, nobody was there. She just shut the door back. Then there was again calling bell. This time she opened, she saw his son was lying flat on the floor, paying obeisances. So sometimes devotees would pay obeisances to each other in the airport. And the passenger would stop by and ask, you have lost something, can I help you? Like that. So many things happen. But Prabhupada would always teach. And here Prahlad Maharaj himself is showing by his example, although he is a demon, basically king of the demon, he is the enemy of Vishnu, but because he is superior, he is paying his obeisances. And Hiranyakashipu saw that, he was so happy by seeing, he was in full ecstasy just by seeing Prahlad. Because pure devotees always attract, like Supreme Lord himself. So again he took him, put him back in his back on his lap, and he explained, Narada Muni says, that tears of ecstasy were coming, stream of tears are coming out of Hiranyakashipu's eyes. And they're falling on Prahlad Maharaj's lotus face and glistening it. So that was the situation. And he was saying, long live my son, because he paid obeisance, like Ayushman Bhava, like in India. Live for 100 years. That is the common thing. Hiranyakashipu was doing the same thing. He said, Prahlad, you live long. And then again he asked, tell me what you have learned in your school. Again asked the same question, in the same way. What have you learned from your guru this time, he said. So basically he was referring to Sandana Amarka. Last time he said anything you say, but this time he said, what the guru taught you, tell me. He was a little careful, not to spoil the mood. Therefore he said, tell me what your guru spoke. But Prabhupada explains, Prahlad Maharaj had many, basically three gurus. One is material guru, material education guru. The other is spiritual master, which is Narada Muni. And he always considered Narada Muni to be his guru, nobody else. So therefore, immediately starts speaking what he learned from Narada Muni. So, and these are very, very famous verse in the, and these are the foundation of bhakti, basically. Whatever devotional service we do is based on these three verses. Two verses. Right? So, in the beginning he said actually one verse, first interaction. Second interaction speaks two verses. And the third interaction will speak three verses. Next question he will ask, he will speak three verses. That's probably, I was just saying this thing in the chapter. What are the two verses here? Sravanam kirtanam vishno smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dhyasam sakhyam atmanivedanam iti pumsarpita vishno bhakti chetnamalakshana kriyate bhagavati adha tanmanye aditam uttamam. And this way Prahlad Maharaj spoke these two verses. Sravanam kirtanam vishno. That there has to be first hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees. Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he comments in this way like Sravanam means to hear and Kirtanam means to recite again and again, memorize them. Sravanam means reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all these important literatures. And Kirtana means you recite it again and memorize them. And Smarana means to understand them in a very deep way. Contemplating and understanding, that is called Smarana. Then one has to worship the Lord in that feelings. Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dhyasam. And Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita, many verses relating each of these terms. Like Kirtanam, Satatam, Krishna says, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. Prabhupada also explains, Bhakti means, Upanishad explains, that Bhakti means it has to be for Krishna. Bhakti cannot be done to any other personalities. Whenever you use the word Bhakti, it has to be for the Supreme Lord. So Satatam Kirtayanto Mam, Krishna says, whenever you are speaking about chanting my holy names, or chanting my glories, it should be about me. That is devotee's nature. Also there is another verse that says, Kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. That my devotees always come together and they speak about me. And that is their satisfaction. And that is their pleasure, ramanticha. And smaranam padasevanam. Smaranam means manmanabhav matbhakto. Manmanabhav, always think of me, Krishna says. That is smaranam. Archanam mandanam dasam, Krishna says, Manmanava Madhav, Mat Yaji, Yaji means worship me, that is Archanam. Vandanam Dasyam, Mam Namaskuru. So when you pay obeisances to Krishna, basically you are glorifying him, then offer prayers, Vandanam. So all these verses in Gita basically speaks about what Prahlad Maharaj says. So Prahlad Maharaj basically extracted these essence of scriptures and just put them in two verses in a very beautiful way. And Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam, Krishna says, Suruda Sarva Bhutanam, I am the best friend of all living entities. So therefore we should think Krishna as our friends, as our best friend. And in this way one should offer everything to Krishna, Atma Nivedanam. So iti pumsar pita vishnu bhakti chet navalakshana. These are the nine symptoms of devotion to Krishna. And one who does it, kriyate bhagavati adha. Adha means completely, fully, not partially or partly. So Prabhupada is saying adha means completely or directly, not indirectly. Directly it should be done to Krishna. Of course we do it through our spiritual master, but then still it is also direct because it is through spiritual master meant for Krishna. So Prabhupada says there are two types of devotees. One is karma mishra type. They perform pious activities and offer the results to Krishna. So this karmakanda also, we can't offer any result to Krishna. The result has to come from a pious activity. Normally people say, I will do whatever I want to do, I will do and offer the result to Krishna. That is not allowed. Krishna will not accept any fruit that we offer. When it is performed through a karmakanda style, it has to be done in a pious way. So some people, fruitive workers, first perform some pious work and then offer the results to Krishna. Whereas the real devotee, Prabhupada explains, real devotee first offers himself or herself. First a devotee offers whole body, mind and words. So devotee first offers himself and then offers his karma or activities or seva basically. No more karma anymore. First offers himself, then offer the seva. Whereas a karmakandi type person first does his karma, then offer the results. So therefore he says, sannyas means sa, not just nyas. Nyas means giving of sense gratification, offering results to Krishna. Sannyas means completely offering oneself. That is through body, mind and word, everything. So in this way, Prabhupada explains about this 9 process of devotion. And when we'll just end with next 3 verses. 1, 2 and now 3. And that will end because we have to go to Juhu. Many devotees, I'm not going, but many devotees will be going to Juhu for this Yamuna's seva. So when Hiranyakashipu heard this, again he was very disturbed. And in fact, he was asking, why did you learn all these things? Prahlad, you have to tell me. So when he asked this question, then Prahlad Maharaj did not answer them directly. He didn't say Narad Muni answer. But rather he said, even if I say, you will not understand these things. Something like that. This little small boy, but you can see, Mahabhagavat. He is dealing with Hiranyakashipu, but he was in complete control, full control. This is Matirna Krishna Parato Satava Mithavi Padyat Grihat Pratanam Adanta Govir Visatam Tamishram Puna Punas Charvita Charvananam. This is one who is absorbed in matter. He cannot understand about Krishna. One is absorbed in sense gratification. He cannot understand these things. Matirna Krishna, one Mati or intelligence or mind, cannot enter into Krishna's or understand Krishna even if he tries on his own or takes help from others. Parato Svatava. Svata means on his own he tries a lot to understand Krishna, but attached to sense gratification, not possible. And he tries to take help from others, try to understand Krishna while being attached to sense gratification, that is also not possible. Even he brings a lot of scholars and there is a big conference, and in that conference they are trying to understand Krishna, but all attached to sense gratification, Prahlad Maharaj says, not possible. Because they are interested in something. The punas punas charbita charbanana means they are trying to chew which is already chewed and trying to extract some juice out of it. Not possible. So similarly, Lord Krishna says in Gita, Bhogayashara pasaktanam tayahuprata chetasam vivasaitmika buddhi samaudhavna vidhiyate. That one who is attached to sense gratification, Voga Aishwarya, Prasaktanam, Prasaktatmanam, one, those particular entities, conditioned souls, who are attached to Voga and Aishwarya, luxury and sense gratification, enjoyment. And all these two things, Taya Uprata Chetasam, they steal the consciousness of a person. And therefore, Vivasayatmika Buddhi, to do devotional service to Krishna in a determined way, doesn't express. Samadhauna vidhiyate. Samadhu comes from the word samadhi, or fixed, absorbed, complete absorption. It cannot come. Therefore, those who are absorbed in sense gratification, they actually do not know what is their true self-interest. Prahlad Maharaj says, Nate vidu swartha gate me vishnum. Why? Durasrayaya bahirarthamanina. They do not know what is good for them. Swarthagati. What is the swarthagati? They don't know. Because durasraya bahirarthamanna. They are attracted by external things of this world. and that is described by Prabhupada as Durashraya. Durashraya means, Ashraya means hope or take shelter. Durashraya means we are trying to take, we are hopeful or we are trying to take shelter of something that cannot give shelter. Dur means very far away. So Durashraya means, Prabhupada says, hoping against hope. That which should not be hope, that is hoped for. That's called hoping against hope. You know, it is like that. Durashraya. Bhairarthamanina. Andha yatha andher upaniya manas. Tepi sat tantrayam urdhamni vadha. In this way, he is saying, it is not possible. Then, what is the way for you to understand? Even if I answer, how did I learn? What is the process to learn about spiritual life? What is the process to learn to appreciate Krishna? That he explains in the last verse. And that's how he says, if you want to know how to learn these things, this is the way to learn. Now what is this? Naisa matistvadur karmangarim sparsati anarthapagamo yad artha mahiyasam pado rajobhisekam niskinchananam nabhranitayavat. It says that only unto those great souls who have implicit, it says, Naisa Matistvad Ur Karma Angarim. That means, one cannot be attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna till what time? Till Mahiyasam Pada Rajavesekam. Unless one serves a pure devotee. In fact, he is using the word Pada Rajo Abhishekam. Pada means feet, lotus feet of spiritual master. A lotus feet of pure devotees. Pure devotees, lotus feet's dust. One has to take dust in buckets basically and then shower over oneself, Abhishek. When one does Abhishek with the dust of pure devotees, then only one Mati will be little get purified and they'll be able to understand what is this bhakti, what is Krishna, what is devotional service. In this, Prahlad Maharaj concludes, and Prabhupada says, Asya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite kathita hi arthita prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both Lord and spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So one has to have full faith in the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. And in this way, one can gather the essence of bhakti and spiritual knowledge. And Rishabhadev says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahat Seva Dwaram Ahur Bhimukte. So unless one adheres to such a great personality, Mahatma, pure devotees, service to pure devotees, one cannot understand Krishna. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj is trying to explain so many different ways. And we know, unless we accept the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj into our life in a very nice way, we cannot understand or perform devotional service. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. So, any announcement, Prabhuji? So, I think he said the announcement is done in the beginning, right? Okay. Okay. Now we'll have Kirtan, and afterwards there will be Prasadam. Hare Krishna.